Ramble.
Quantum of Solace.
Quantum of Solace.
Goldfinger.
That one's got to be top five.
I don't know why this is hyping me up. Eugene looks dead. Eugene looks like his soul has left his body.
We're top five.
Here we go. I'm just hyping myself up.
Bring us in, Eugene.
There's
one for each. Bring us in, movie.
Hey guys, it's the tripod. It's Zach, Ned, Keith, Eugene, Miles. Here we are.
Yeah.
We're feeling good.
Let's keep talking about Bond songs.
So, election's coming up, world's on fire, everything is terrible.
We said we would keep
so,
it light.
So, here's your fucking comedy podcast. Here we go.
Well, Miles asked Eugene to open it.
Yeah, here we go.
Didn't want
myself.
You
here
know
we are.
Funny? Right before the podcast started, Eugene said, look, I think that our job, we're the comedy podcast. We're going to be the light. We're just going to be some fun. It is something, Eugene, you and I have been talking about. The closer we get to the election, the more fatigued we are thinking about and talking about the election. So I think we just all want to do anything else right now.
Yeah, we're also releasing tons of content in our other areas that are constantly talking about the election.
Well, just this week.
Well, this week, but also on our social media.
That's true.
It's getting a little grueling, but it's worth it. But I think in the tripod, this is a space to let yourselves relax.
You got GOTV, baby. Yeah. Get out the vote.
Vote it out, girl.
I got my ballots yesterday. I was worried they weren't coming. I was worried they weren't coming because it said they mailed them to me on October 5th. And then it said they mailed them out October 7th. Didn't have them. And today was the 14th. I'm like, they're not coming. And then you know what? They came.
You know what's terrifying? Mm. Someone broke into the mailbox in my building. I live in an apartment complex.
Whoa.
So they opened it up and all the mail was taken. Yeah. Which I was like, why the fuck you want my mail, dude? Like, maybe steal my Amazon boxes. Maybe.
I mean, if they know you're the host of the tripod, you get those free goodies in the mail from
sponsors. That's true. I get my underwear and all that.
Honestly, they don't even have to pay me sometimes. I'll just get it for the free stuff.
Love that. But I was terrified. I'm like, oh my God, like, did my ballot get stolen? Did Lindsey Graham fly to Los Angeles and steal my ballot personally?
He's like the Grinch.
Yeah. Well, how the Grinch stole the election. That's a movie I would watch.
Wow. Ooh, yeah. I feel like Lindsey Graham's like Boss Nass from Star Wars Episode One.
So we're going to do comedy today, yeah?
Yeah, what the fuck did I just say?
I'm not doing comedy.
You just literally
today.
Made me think about like voter suppression, happening in Texas, mines in Georgia.
About Boss Nass.
Yeah, no one gives a fuck about what happens in California. Nass. We already know no one's stealing our ballots.
Misa have peace.
That would be funny if Lindsey Graham said Misa have peace, though.
Wow. Misa have peace.
What will make you happy, Eugene? We've steamrolled your sadness, and I feel bad. People should be allowed. We talked about that all last week. People should be allowed.
No, but come on, guys. Last week was the episode where we were all in our feelings. We gotta bring it right back. So we are Webby Award-winning comedians.
Okay, I'll take it. I went to New Mexico, not Old Mexico.
Oh, whoa!
And let me tell you, I saw a lot of Border Patrol police.
Jeez,
I had to pass through.
What the fuck? We
this
had a
is
plan.
Daily life.
We said we were going to be the ha-ha, laugh-em-up podcast.
I thought that would make
you
us laugh.
You did so many other things on your trip.
Well,
the one thing you bring up is that you saw border control agents.
I patrol. First of all, they don't control the border. They
it's
patrol
not paw control.
It's border patrol, not border control.
Yeah, patrol.
I'm pretty sure it's border control.
I mean, they might control... But they're
no,
supposed
it's not.
To patrol.
Yeah, it is. When you go to the airport, it's like you go to border control.
Border control.
It's like, oh, I got to show my passport to border control.
Well, I've got just the perfect thing to cheer Eugene up, gang. Keith, check your email.
What?
I sent you a secret email that somebody wrote in to have be read on the podcast.
Okay.
Eugene, you're really going to love this one. It's a cutie, and they are in middle school, and
this is
about the dance. Keith?
Ooh, I'm ready to. It starts cute. You ready?
I don't know that I am.
My secret name is Sandy Andy. Whatever you guys decided, it's Sandy Andy
now. Oh, yeah, my people.
You guys are my first choice for this rant. It has to do with boys and dances. So, in my school, wait, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I will say that it's overly expensive because it's the top school in Vancouver. And it's written with all the goofy ups and downs capitals. And we're always competing with York House.
Ugh.
Did I tell you my school is all girls? It is the drama that happens when you put a school of over 2,000 girls together. Anyways, my school goes K to 12, and this is my last year before high school, and grade 7 is literally the best grade ever. You get to do all the school assemblies. You get to organize sports day. You get a special going away assembly and a special sash. You are allowed to order the kids around. And the main thing, you get to go to socials with all the boys' school.
Is that something the sash unlocks? You get to boss people around with it?
Yeah.
I think so. And you get to dance with boys.
Ooh, what?
I haven't seen a boy since preschool. Because of the way our all-girls schools works. And I don't do any out-of-school extracurriculars. My question to you is, how do I go to dances without freaking out? What are they like? And what are boys even like? Are they gross? Do they smell weird? I haven't seen one in forever, and I'm not even kidding. What do you wear? What happens at the dances? Do you even dance?
Oh, there's a lot of questions.
Help me. I'm ready for this question.
Okay, because, Keith, go.
And I have a good experience because I worked at an all-boys camp. Oh. And at that all-boys camp, as a counselor,
did they ask the same questions?
Well, no, but we went to an all-girls camp. And I literally was to, like, do a dance. And I literally was standing there with the boys and girls on either side of the floor it was a movie.
This is a movie
and
moment.
I grabbed one of the female counselors from their camp and had to break open the dance floor so that it would, like, lessen the mood. And then they all were dancing, and it was, like, so adorable. It was like in Heavyweights, that scene where they're like not sure, and then they're all doing it. And also, while I saw a boy and a girl kissing, you know what I did? Not stop them.
Yeah.
I was like, they're fighting. It's time. This is where kids, all they were doing was kissing. You gotta let them kiss. Have a little kiss. You have a little growing up memory. I kissed a girl at a camp. And I liked it.
I kissed a girl at camp and I liked it.
And I'm telling you, girl, guess what? This first dance is going to be weird.
Yeah.
You're going to see somebody cry. absolutely you are. And you're going to see...
What are they going to be crying about?
Oh, I don't know. A misconnection. You know, you're going to think that you're going to fall in love. And maybe you will. Probably you won't. But you know what? I would say go in and grab a couple girls and go up to a group of a couple guys and ask everyone to dance together. Mm. Lessen the stigma of one at a time, and then you will naturally break out into one-on-one dances. But that first step of going up to a single boy and asking them to dance is intimidating. And guess what? They're intimidated too. Everybody's freaked the fuck out.
Everybody's
freaked the fuck out. It's scary as shit. Those boys also haven't seen a girl since preschool. And at this point, they don't even know what makes boys and girls different.
I can almost guarantee that the boys at this dance are going to be more freaked out than she is. They're going to be all in their head being like, oh, how do I do? What do I do with my body? Because they got these crazy hormones flying around. They can't control themselves.
I have no point of comparison. But yeah, as a middle school boy, I was definitely freaked out.
And I would say pop music has gotten a lot sexier than when I was a child. And I remember when they were saying, like, if they all, I kind of think that some of those crazy parents were right when they were like, if we let them sing about this, who knows what they're going to be singing about next? And now we are singing about wet ass pussies. And I guess, you know, maybe they were right, but I'm not against it.
Right.
I'm just saying, yes, they were right. It did get sexier and sexier and sexier.
I don't know, man. I was dancing to Genuine's Pony as a kid.
Men
were singing about their dicks all
that's
the
true.
Fucking
yeah,
time.
That's true.
As a middle schooler, I thought that was about horses.
I also didn't quite get it.
I remember my mom singing, is it a Flo Rida song about, like, I want to blow your whistle, babe? And not realizing that it was just a blowjob song, like singing it around the house. We're totally constantly ignorant about how dirty our lyrics are.
Yeah, like, yeah. I want to lick you from your head to your toes.
Oh, wow, it's that, like, one is nuts.
That could mean anything.
You guys can dance to From the Windows to the Wall?
Well, eventually, yes.
Yeah.
My neck,
that was,
my crack?
Yeah, it was always dirty.
Except that
Elvis
was
dirty.
It was always muted half of the song. So it'd be like, mm-hmm. From the window to the walls, to the wall, to the sweat drop down my... Oh, these... Crawl! Oh!
And the one, you know, naughty kid yells it out loud.
Yeah,
you're like, oh,
yelling skeet as long
skeet,
as he can.
Corey, stop.
Skeet, skeet,
Corey.
Skeet. You ever have a kid who literally just said skeet, skeet in the hall? Because I 100%. Did growing
yeah.
up.
Oh yeah,
skeet, 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 skeet.
It's like a pretty cool thing to do. It's like pretty popular.
It's very similar to the yelling out penis on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Penis.
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 Penis. Penis game. I got one more thing for Sandy Andy.
What you got?
And I love your advice of, like, dance with your friends and try and dance with another group of
friends.
Boyfriends. Yeah. Not your boyfriends, just friends who are boys. Uh-huh. But, like, I would say don't measure the success of the dance by whether or not you get a one-on-one dance. Like, go in there for fun. And go in there for fun with,
like,
your friends.
Sounds like Sleep No More to me. I don't know if anyone else is familiar with Sleep No More, but part of going to Sleep No More is you get one-on-ones with cast members. Mm-hmm. I don't know. My mind has been thinking about Sleep No More because I'm worried it'll never exist any again. But go back to the dance. Anyway, Sleep No More is an amazing theatrical experience in New York. Who knows if it'll ever exist again.
Unless someone grabs you and brings you into a dark corner and shows you a little dove in their hand.
Yeah.
You're just watching the orgy scene over and over.
Yeah.
Which is
we're getting off base for
more. It's not like a middle school dance.
I think you should go there for fun. It's and don't come up with these, like, you have to check these boxes for it to be a success. Put yourself out there, have a good time, and just try and enjoy yourself.
There's also snacks. There's conversation.
Hell yeah!
You can, like, get, like, real hopped up on Sprite.
What were you guys like at dances when you were a kid? Because I was terrible at them and very nervous.
I assumed I was fantastic. I think I went in with way too much confidence, and I would definitely, like, dance hard. Not good dancing.
Hard dancing. Yeah. Like, I would dance so much I got real sweaty.
But would you dance with girls?
Yeah. I was I was pretty confident about approaching girls and dancing. My mom forced me to do this ballroom dancing class.
Oh, my God.
Which was embarrassing at the time. But one thing they made us do in that class was, like, go up and, like, ask individual people to dance. Like, guys and girls would both, like, you, it would be like, basically they get all the girls in line, all the guys in line, and then it would be like, all right, everybody find a partner.
Yeah.
And you know, that was, like, I don't know, just practice. At then when you're in the school dance, it's like, well, okay, just walk up and ask somebody to dance, and if it doesn't work out, doesn't work out.
Eugene, yeah. was grinding in your middle school as big as it was in mine? Because it was crazy to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We had a lot of grinding. We had grinding, but we had, you know, we're in the South, so we also had country music. So there was a lot of, like, people did line dances.
Yeah,
you had, like, Walk the Line by Shania Twain. Uh-huh. That came on, and everyone did the same line dance.
How does everyone know the dance?
Because it's a line dance.
Somehow
what
you
does
just,
that mean?
You just know
them.
It. It's just like,
about?
Yeah, it's like
you
a cultural thing.
It's in the water.
Yeah.
You just know it?
It's like how you know the electric slide, and once you've been to one party that does it, you know the dance.
Cha-cha now, y'all.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
I would say 90% of line dances are comprised of the exact same moves in different orders.
Yeah,
so, like,
step,
you can
step,
very
crossover, heel toe, turn.
It it's like a grapevine, a couple lean forwards, lean
and
backs.
And then repeat it four different directions.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy.
And if you don't know it, you can pretty much fake it.
But that's kind of what's great about... I think Sandy Andy has a very different situation because she is an all-girl school.
Yeah.
The fact that she has never seen a boy for years,
years.
Preschool, that changes things because you do get a little bit of the dumb, antiquated gender politics as a child when you are with girls on the playground and with boys and you're like, oh, they're gross, they have cooties, oh, but I kind of like them, oh, but, you know, you get some of that education that certainly doesn't carry over until
cootie education.
Yeah, I mean, really, honestly, the thing about looking back on it, all that, like, really doesn't matter. Really, until you're, like, maybe out of high school, you start getting your bearings. But even, like, in your 20s, you're still pretty stupid. But I would say here's some, like, hot tips,
ooh,
especially for dance.
Hot tips with Eugene for seventh grade girls.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And this is for, actually, this is not for seventh grade girls. This is for life.
Wow. Wow.
Hot tips with Eugene.
For life.
Girls.
Dance circles. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
You see a dance circle?
Yeah.
You get it. It's a safe space.
Yes.
Now, on
is
top
it?
Of, yeah. Dance
oh,
yeah. circles are great.
Is it but, a safe space?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You all stand in a circle and dance towards the center. Now, here's what makes dance circles.
Zach's thinking of the ones where someone goes in the center and then everyone
watches. No, that's
them.
That's part two of my tip.
That's yeah. definitely not a safe
not
space.
A safe space for me.
But that's the thing is you
can't be bad.
You never have to go into the circle. You can always be part of the circle.
Yeah.
The best part of that is if you have a friend in your friend group who is a center circle person.
Which yes. is you.
Which is me.
Yeah. This advice is coming from someone who's an incredible dancer.
But it is very good to either have a great dancer or a very outgoing clownish person as a friend because then you and the other people who join the circle start talking to each other about that friend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you start talking to other people. It's a very easy way to start chatting someone up because they'd be like, oh, who's that? And they'd be like, that's Keith.
That's true. I think some great advice in there is that even if you're part of a dance circle where everyone's going in the center, you don't have to feel pressure to go in the center. Mm-hmm. You can just watch.
I'm going to tell you that my middle school and high school experience, very different. Anytime there was a dance circle, they get to the person that doesn't want to dance and everyone starts chanting their name and they shove them. They literally would take my body and shove me into the middle of the circle. Not a safe space.
But did they cheer for you?
Yeah, and then you like do like your little like goofy jiggy and then all you got.
It's
and then,
great.
Yeah, they didn't give a smattering of applause.
Yeah, and then they move on to the next kid.
I'm saying it's preferred if you want to dance at a dance and not have the pressure of singling out a boy for a slow dance.
Yeah.
That is definitely, I mean, look, here's the deal. For me, everything gave me anxiety. I'm trying to be strong for Sandy Andy here, my namesake, but I feel your pain because every dance that I went to, basically until forever, I never had a dance that I felt comfortable at. I never was comfortable approaching people for dances. I was never comfortable dancing. Now that I'm in a relationship, I'm like, great, I can just fucking wiggle my body and no one cares.
I think it's also important, tip number three, to inevitably find ways to incorporate opposite gender or people you might be attracted to into your friend group as friends. Like, establish platonic relationships with people, because this whole idea of like girls versus boys is just it can carry into people's mentalities until they're like dead. And I think that's very damaging because they're always like, you're a potential romantic interest. And I think once you especially mature out of that, you're just like, oh, wait, I have like millions of friends who I could technically be attracted to, but I'm not attracted to them at all. Mm-hmm. That's something that would be great if they could establish it young. It's harder for her because she's
in
school.
My best friend,
you can hang out boys outside of school
in kindergarten, was a girl because she lived next door to me. So like Casey and I were friends. We were
Casey
not
Smith.
Casey Smith, now Bodmer. Shout out. But she like we were never romantic. We were always just friends. And like I think it was because we were friends platonically like from so long, from such a young age. And then other like I just went to a school with boys and girls. So I had tons of girl and boyfriends. Like there wasn't romance. Now there were girls I had crushes on. Of course. Of course, it was some that I had crushes on, but they didn't pan out.
We spent so much time together that I know the name, the full name of your kindergarten best friend.
Yeah, well, she was also my best friend until like through high school, and then until I moved away, and I'm still friends with her. She came to see our Legends of the Internet show.
Casey Smith.
Yeah. Ooh.
Did I meet Casey Smith?
Yeah. She had the daughters who were very shy.
Oh, they were cute.
Yeah, it was in that really nice downstairs where we all came out. We all had our own dressing room, and we all still walked around in our underwear anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
That's the one.
That's what we do.
It's in the movie coming out.
Oh!
I believe that scene is in the movie, but you don't see Casey.
Did you guys ever have the three-finger rule? Do you know what that means?
Is that a sex thing, Mike?
No, not at all. Not a sex.
If you can fit three fingers in your mouth, you can get any girl you want.
Talking about,
yeah, girls are really impressed if you put your whole hand in your mouth.
Yeah, dude, they are though. I definitely put my whole hand in my mouth. I can still do it.
Are you talking about like distance away that you're supposed to be from?
No, of course,
with?
Ned. The three finger rule is when you press down on a steak when it's cooking, and if your three fingers don't.
Miles, take it away.
When you're filling up a glass of whiskey, one is if you want to get a little drunk, two is if you want to party, and three is if you want to forget everything.
Jesus. No, three-finger rule was we were terrified of touching the girls when we'd be dancing with them. So we would only put three fingers on their waist because we were like, I know that I'm supposed to dance. I'm a middle schooler. I'm supposed to dance with a girl. That's like what we do.
But
I'm terrified, and I don't want to touch them because I like know that I should, but it's weird and it freaks me out. And so we would just do like three fingers, what alien has three fingers? ET. And we just be like three fingers touching their waist, and then
I think this is
why are you
is that
this
not a nationwide rule?
I thought that was a commonplace thing.
Well, the thumb needs to be closer to God. So
I would say
up.
If anything, it was often you wanted to get closer together and like you know hold them more, but the chaperones
teachers,
you know, it not everyone had a chaperone as cool as Counselor Keith.
No. It was very like just go for it,
but our teachers always said leave room for Jesus.
Yeah,
yes,
that was always the thing. Corey,
you needed like
Corey,
10
Amanda,
inches for Jesus.
Leave room from Jesus.
Yeah, it was like you had to be able to fit a balloon in between. Uh-huh. That was we had a more secular interpretation
at Hebrew school dances. They would say part the Red Sea.
Oh,
part the Red Sea.
That's really?
No, disgusting. I'm kidding.
I was like, that's cute. That's
Eugene. Eugene and Ned, because you're both in the South. I'm sorry, I'm going to exclude you here.
That's
for
all right. I'll say I can go to the bathroom.
We had like prom and the homecoming dance, which were like the official dances. But in my school, every single Friday night at the Happy J skating rink, which was just over the bridge, this is how you're talking in the South, there was a dance, and this was not put on by the high school. It was just a dance, and it was just the only place that teenagers could go. And you would go at like 9 o'clock at night, you go till like 11, and it was 2 hours. And there weren't really chaperones, they were just the people who ran the rink.
Are we talking 13 or 17?
I'm talking both. Wow. 13 through 17. I mean, you could go
only both, no one between.
No, I mean, and all of the in betweens, but because it was a skating rink, like there were parts of it that were really fairly well lit, and then parts of it that were not well lit at all.
That sounds where the funny business happens.
Definitely there was funny business. There are definitely people who were like also like
17-year-olds at a dimly lit skating
the
rink.
The kids were working together. And what I mean was there would be the dark corners, and what other their friends would do was cluster groups of people in front of the dark corners so that people could go in the dark corner to make out, and you kind of had a high school human shield of dancers so that the person whose perspective of like the owners who were watching, the quote-unquote chaperones, could not see beyond those people.
That's gay.
Did you guys have like a community dance building?
No, we had Friday Night Lights were for us Texas football. So every Friday night was a huge football game.
Exactly.
The entire town went to the football game.
After.
No, we didn't have that because I think we were a developmental suburb. So like we didn't have like we had a lot of old stuff, but it was all like old German stuff. So that was kind of weird. Like we had like our Wiener House. It was a German settled town.
Oh, okay.
So there's like a Wiener House, and like there's like one bar the adults went to, but we were too young for it. So most people went to other kids' houses, or they'd go mudding.
I'm sorry,
trucks.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They did that at night?
Yeah, because we were suburb. And then country. So some kids would be like,
I'm a Yankee over here.
Who the fuck is mudding in the dark?
I'm sorry. Better question. What the fuck is mudding?
It's you just take a truck and then you go to like a real fucking wet field and you fucking just spin that truck around until it's covered in mud.
Imagine doing donuts in a parking lot, but it's not paved. It's just a pile of mud.
That sounds incredible. You'd
see trucks driving through town and the entire thing, except for like a little bit of the windshield that had been cleaned, was caked in mud. Like you couldn't see out of the side windows, you couldn't see out of the back windows. Mm-hmm. The whole fucking truck was brown.
So that would just destroy the fields, right? Like any grass that was trying to grow just in wrecked. Field.
No, it's more just like
in like a riverbed or something.
Yeah, somewhere was really muddy.
You know, it's a riverbed.
it's where the river isn't always full of water. So sometimes it's just like it's not in the rainy season, so it's like kind of muddy, but it's not that. Mm-hmm.
We had like a YMCA style building, but we also like I think our town was probably bigger than yours.
Yeah,
we were just outside of Austin, so we were still very country, but we weren't small enough where we had to have a dedicated social area.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Happy J skating
rink. Yeah. We still had like cliques, and we had to go to friends' houses, or there was a lot of like activities at the school, but there wasn't a Happy J.
Our extra social or like outside of school dances were cotillions, which was like just you had kids from a bunch of different schools that then there was like a schedule of, you know, you'd have like 6 or 8 dances over the course of the year at various places.
But any old kid could go.
How old are you guys all talking?
So.
I'm very lost here. How old are you?
This is middle school.
Middle school. Yeah. Okay.
Middle to high school.
And cotillion is like fancy man school, right? That's they fancy. Also have like.
Lot of the dances would be at like the country club.
Yeah.
I never been to no cotillion.
I'll take the filet mignon. I'll take the.
I don't think I had any real dances in middle school, other than like I had dances at sleepaway camp when I was in what grade? I'm like fourth and fifth
fourth,
grade.
Fourth through
and
six,
I don't think we had middle school dances. We would just get dropped off at Applebee's, get some slamming apps, and go see a movie. That was my life.
We didn't have a movie theater within an hour's drive.
Oh my God.
So that wasn't an option.
Wow.
Oh, no movies?
Yeah, bro. I lived in fucking nowhere. I know I had mentioned it a lot, but I literally lived
in
fucking
skating
nowhere.
We
had Happy J's.
No. It was a roller skating rink. That in the 90s, our biggest thing we had was a roller skating rink. That was it. That was where every birthday party happened. And we just called it Happy J's. That's where my karate lessons were. That was like the only place that anything happened.
Yeah. You still know karate?
Hell yeah. I got all the way to yellow belt.
Which is
the second belt of 8 or so. No, I mean it was a very safe place to grow up, but in like we didn't lock our doors of our house because like if somebody stole from you, you would know. It wouldn't happen. Like, well, that's mine, Daryl. Give it back. But there was nothing to do. There were many, many churches. Like there were probably 15 churches for a town of 2,000 people. There was we didn't get a McDonald's in the town until 2003.
2,000 people was the whole town?
It was the whole town. It was the county seat. It was the big town.
Whoa.
So there were towns. There were like Pleasant Shade, which was a nearby town, had like, I don't know, 350 people. Defeated was a town. It had an elementary school, which name was Defeated Elementary. So funny. Never got lost on me how funny that was. There was Red Boiling Springs.
Oddly enough, they're state champs.
They're not. Red Boiling Springs, which I assume that it was just a babbling brook and they called it Red Boiling Springs because there was clay. There were clay beds in some part of it, so it had like red water.
But you really didn't have a good time in our outdoorsy video.
Yeah, just because I grew up there didn't mean I liked camping. I never liked camping. I'm allergic to like hay.
He dreamed of slamming apps in movie theaters. Yeah,
I was living his life. Dude, that would have been incredible.
Suburbia.
When I moved to Bolingbrook, Illinois, and I had a Chili's like within a mile and a half, and also you had a TGI Fridays, you had like an everything. I moved to like suburbia that had a mall, and I was like, this is fucking nuts. There were 3 Starbucks across the street from one another in one intersection. I was like, this is nuts. I could do anything.
I just realized that Eat the Menu is Keith's lost childhood.
Yeah.
It's like his Rosebud where this dying breath is just TGI.
Yeah, I mean, when we would go to Red Lobster, and I thought this is the greatest day of my life because it was in Nashville. Like we could only go to like a Red Lobster or a place like that if we were going to have a day at the mall. Now, my parents also did not really love our tiny town with nothing to do. So every single weekend, we drove an hour to an hour and a half to go somewhere else and go to a mall, go shop, go eat, go see a movie, etc. But all that had to be like planned. We had to like spend the whole day in Nashville.
Mm-hmm. You were rarities in your town, where I imagine a lot of people in your town, like they grew up there, their parents grew up there, their grandparents, whereas 100%. Your family came in from the Northeast for mining.
My parents were from New Jersey and New York. That's where they were both born. Then they had lived in Pennsylvania before we went to Carthage, and we moved there because my dad is a mining engineer. He was in Pennsylvania before that. Lots of mines there.
Yep.
Tennessee, lots of mines there. Moved to Illinois. Lots of mines there. So like that was sort of the reason we moved.
Does he still?
No, he's retired, but he is now like does consulting for mines, because my dad's like very, very, very smart. He's a underground mining engineer. So he designs the mines underground to be safe so that people won't die as they explode parts of the underground.
It's so crazy.
Like so he came to Illinois to do quarries. Are the big empty holes that blow dust everywhere, because it's just how we get like all of the rock for sidewalks, for roads, everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But all the cities hate it because it blows dust everywhere. So all quarries, like from a mandate, were like trying to go underground. But to do that, they have to be, they're giant. They're like 100-foot ceiling mines. So like they're huge, but they're harder to do and figure out. And my dad was able to figure it out well enough for Vulcan Mining, which is like one of the largest mining corporations there is. So when we moved to like Bolingbrook, he just came. He just came to like help that one mine go underground, and he was so good at it. Like within a year, he was in charge of the underground mine division of like Vulcan Materials, which is like one of the largest mining companies in the world.
Sounds like something out of a sci-fi, but it's a real company.
It's a real company, and he's very, very good at it. And he goes to other places and tells them what they're doing wrong, because he can like walk in and very quickly figure out what's wrong about this mine and why it's unsafe. And he's like, you need to make this safer, and et cetera, et cetera.
Does he ever get called in like, there's been an accident? We need Donald Haversford.
No, because if there's been an accident, it's too late for what he could do. He was on a mine rescue team, actually, when he was younger. So mining is the only company that has its own safety and health administration. And he was on a mine rescue team, which meant like if something did go wrong, he would go in and help pull people out.
Would he get called at like 4 a.m? It's like, honey, I got to go underground.
You know, I don't know if he... Well, first of all, he woke up at 4 a.m. every day and went to the... Like, he was at work at 5 a.m.
Geez.
Wow.
Because in addition to being a very, very smart guy, he actually also put his work shift to be from 5 to 3 so he could come home and still hang out with us.
That's adorable. So,
very hardworking guy. Very, very smart. Nice dude.
Well, Sandy Andy, we hope this helps with the school dance.
Yeah, I mean, my dad did not help me learn to dance and probably flirt with women. I'd say he was very shy in that regard. So, yeah, I did not get very good dating advice from my dad. But that wasn't what he was there for, you know? He was there to play Frisbee with me. He's good Frisbee as well.
Good Frisbee and building minds.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very cool specific.
Yeah, and like he also, like, he basically uses similar to like other like 3D printing software, because he has like rendering software, but it's for making 3D models of mines. So it's like a different use of the same technology that some people in our field would use.
What about your dads?
What about your dads? Let's talk about dads.
Yeah, let's go around and everyone introduce your dad.
Zach's got a rock star dad.
Yeah, Zach's dad's a rock star.
Zach's dad has the coolest title.
Yeah. Daddy Kornfeld, Adam, I think they listen to the podcast. Hi, Dad. Anytime I talk about anything, like with my health, or like last week we talked about depression, my mom texts me, like, hey, so I'm just checking in, seeing, are you okay? And I'm like, oh, you listen to the podcast? She's like, my dad is a concert booking agent. So he works with bands and books and schedules their tours. He actually scheduled our tour, which was the coolest thing to be able to work. Like, I knew what my dad did kind of, but then being able to be one of his bands, quote unquote, it was a really... a deeply meaningful experience last summer. I mean, the tour was so meaningful for so many reasons, but we got to spend the whole summer with my dad, basically.
It was cool. Fun to hang out with your dad. It was like, we'd just be hanging out with Zach's dad.
All the time.
It was great. It was really cool.
But it was, I mean, such a cool childhood, because I got to go to, I mean, my entire childhood was just concerts. That's all my memories was, like, my first vivid memory, I'm sure I've told this, was going to see Metallica with, they did a tour with the New York Philharmonic. So it's like heavy metal and orchestra. It was a really, really cool tour. And he
sounds awesome.
It was, I mean, it's great. There are recordings of it you can go check out. You know those like giant headphones that you would give Wes if things were loud? Like earmuffs. So he gives those to me backstage and he's like, hey, also I got to go backstage all the time. As a kid, you're dope. Just seeing rock stars like in their dressing rooms and stuff. But he goes, don't take this off. No matter what you do, it is the loudest sound produced on earth. Do not take this off. And so we're standing next to speakers. First, the second he looks away, I take him off. And every sound that's ever been produced in human history just floods my tiny little skull. And I felt so goddamn alive.
Yeah, I bet. Right. Wow. Jeez, that's so loud for a child.
You were right next to the speaker?
That's my memory of it. Oh, but I couldn't really hear your question. But
that's
funny.
We did that actually sound test recently, and you actually had the best ears still.
Weird.
It was crazy to me.
Yeah, it feels wrong.
Mine is the worst, but that makes sense because I did like 8 years of being in bands where I sat in front of trumpet players who played super fucking
loud. It
also
makes me think that age is bigger factor.
I think that's also true.
Rock
concerts. Yeah. Even just a few years can make a hell of a difference. My knee 3 years ago, way better than my knee now.
Oh, yeah.
Because of him doing what he did, I have like very funny memories from childhood and very cool ones. Like, right. Like I've seen Billy Joel probably over 25 times. Like I just have gone to so many concerts in my life. My first memory is falling asleep to Billy Joel and Elton John singing, Can You Feel the Love? They did like a tour together. It was Elton John singing, Can You Feel the Love Tonight as I fell asleep. That's my first memory.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Were they in your room?
No.
Oh, you were just sleeping at the concert.
Yeah. I was a child.
Getting late, your kid.
But there were a couple New Year's in a row where I saw very goofy concerts. And so the way that I rung in the millennium, you know, the year 2000, the biggest event of, you know, in the make, it was at a Michael Bolton charity concert. So I was with a bunch of horny 50-year-old women dancing to Michael Bolton and his cover of Sexual Healing. And it was just the weirdest show that you could ever possibly be at.
Michael Bolton, he's hilarious.
Yeah, so that's my daddy.
Wow. Cool daddy.
Cool daddy.
Cool daddy. My daddy is an internist at a hospital. So that means he's a doctor. His specialty is internal medicine, which I didn't really know what it was
at
first.
Yeah, what does that mean? What?
It kind of is like an everything doctor. Mm-hmm. It's primarily, you know, your internal organs, but they also have to know about a lot of different specialties because then they might need to know, oh, okay, I need, for this type of thing that's going on, I need to like loop in this specialist or this specialist. So it's kind of like the first person that sees you.
And then you got to go backstage at the hospital a lot.
I got to go backstage at the hospital. No, it is true. I did actually get to see some cool stuff. I remember one time he took me into like a surgery observation room.
What? No.
Whoa. Like the ones where you're like on the ceiling, like in the shows where you look down.
Yeah,
into
yeah.
It.
And they had like a TV for the orthoscopic camera. Or the laparoscopic camera.
Hell yeah.
And so like I'm watching this surgery happen like on the TV and you see the surgeons and all the assistants like working like there, right? Oh yeah, absolutely.
Dude, the camera's literally in
the camera
guts.
Is inside. So I remember exactly what it was. It was a like a stomach surgery where someone had such bad acid reflux that there's a surgical intervention where you can like take, you know, the tube of someone's esophagus where it connects the stomach and like pinch off it a little bit and then fold it over in on itself. So you're basically surgically making someone's like esophagus to stomach connection tighter and smaller if, you know, drugs aren't working, if they're still getting really bad acid reflux. Super cool. And you could see like there was a little like cauterizing like scissor thing that was like, and it was all like the surgeon's doing it with his hands, but it's on these long poles,
yeah,
and with little tiny like, you know, tweezer type of things, but then it's actually inside someone's body.
If you want to know visually what Ned's talking about, you can actually watch the video I did at BuzzFeed where I had a hernia surgery.
Don't give them the
Well,
view.
Don't worry. Surgery videos can't be monetized on YouTube.
Go give them the
go
view.
Check
so they
out
can't make
that.
Any money from my guts anymore.
Video so, with Keith on BuzzFeed. But then come right back to YouTube.com/TryGuys.
I mean, well, hey, look, our audience going over there sometimes helps the algorithm send them back over here. So it's okay.
Yep.
But it is crazy that how those work, because like the little camera is nuts and it looks like these little alligator mouths doing little work, their tiny little hands, but mine was done with a robot, So it was even fucking weirder because he was actually basically playing a video game inside of my guts. How cool is that?
Yeah. That's really cool.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Miles also a hernia brother over there.
Yeah, what's up, hernia bro? I thought I was having a re-hernia.
Uh-huh.
But a little re-hern?
A little re-hern, but it turns out I've been sitting with my legs crossed, and that's not good for you.
Oh. I do that a lot.
Like this? Like what I'm doing right now?
So, yeah. I mean, I think it's a little different because you're on a couch, but like I've been, you know, we've upped our podcast game, so I'm sitting at my desk a lot more, and I'm working from home and like not shooting stuff as much, so I'm sitting way more, and my legs are crossed.
Wait, can you show me? What are you talking about? All
right. So, my legs are crossed like this.
What's wrong with that? I do that all the time.
So, that's right. Yeah, sure. Do you ever have back problems, Zach?
Well, chronically, Miles.
of course, right? But what it does is it throws your hips out of alignment. So when your legs are crossed, your hips are tilted. And if you stay like that for a long time, your hip flexors shorten. And so not only will you have back problems, but sometimes I have pain in the front, like in my abdomen and stuff. And I thought that was hernia pain, but it's not. It's because my hips are tilted and it's putting tension on my abdomen.
On your scar tissue.
And the doctor said, no go, go to physical therapy.
Keith, let me know if I got a hernia. Because I've been wondering, like, I feel like I did a bit too many sit-ups in the sit-up challenge.
Or perhaps the squat video.
You've been hurting ever since then?
No, but yes. I kind of hurt myself after that. So it wasn't directly connected, but I haven't. Basically had to kind of keep the foot off the gas for about a month or so. It's like right here, like almost next to my dick.
Dude, that is prime hernia location.
I thought I had strained my groin at one point.
And how long has the pain been happening, Ned?
Like a month.
Okay. So it could be, but also hernias are not like fatal. Like you can live your whole life with a hernia and never get it repaired, and eventually the pain can subside as long as it doesn't get any bigger.
Oh no.
The problem is if it starts to get bigger, what a hernia technically is basically your intestines getting through your muscle wall, and the danger of it can be that a part of your intestine can get so far through that it can't go back in, that the muscle wall can then pinch it.
Uh-oh.
And then that part of your intestine can die, and then it can be dangerous.
Oh no.
But
pause,
that's very rare.
I was trying to wait for Eugene's daddy to go pee, but I can't.
You're
gonna
go pee.
Die, so I'm gonna do my next segment called Zach Goes to Pee while you guys talk about hernias. I'll be right back.
Good.
Yeah, I like was playing soccer in the backyard. Uh-huh. I reached my foot out to like I was juggling.
Yeah.
And you know, it just like I thought I had reached it too far without stretching. You know, I was just playing with Wes. It wasn't like an athletic session.
No, yeah. It hurts on the times that it hurts, is there any nausea associated with the pain?
No,
so that's a good sign. Because when it hurts and there's nausea, that's like that means it's definitely a hernia.
Oh. Okay.
And it's just because like it's your guts, right? Your guts are getting pinched, so it kind of feels
like... You could
have
pulled a muscle.
You could have just, like, really strained a muscle.
Like, pulled a crotch muscle?
Yeah. You can, and like...
Not my groin, but just, like, my upper dick muscle.
Yeah. I mean...
Your dick's huge, right?
Yeah.
There's muscles...
So, yeah, it could be your dick.
There's muscles all around, right? Like, there's muscles everywhere. That's just how your body is. But I'd say...
But I'm a little concerned it hasn't healed yet. I've tried this... I mean, I have been going jogging a lot because that doesn't seem to aggravate it as much as, like... sit-ups.
Do you do squats?
Yeah.
Don't do squats anymore.
Oh.
If you're worried you have a hernia, squats are like the worst thing for a hernia.
Well, but I like doing squats.
There you go. So that, but that also
maybe that's it. I've been doing a lot of squats.
Yeah.
You should probably go to the doctor just to check.
Or call your dad.
Yeah. That's a segue is anytime I was hurt growing up and to some extent as an adult, but you know, I feel like I'm an adult now. But, you know, I would like ask my dad and he would let me know like, oh, you just do this or like, oh, like we should go see someone. Or if I was really hurt, he would call ahead to the hospital and be like, my son is coming.
Prepare the room.
Prepare yourself.
Prepare the finest suite.
No, but he would check to see who was on call because it was just his coworkers, you know, that was kind of cool.
I had a hernia, too.
You did?
Really?
You did? I remember you saying that.
I had it when
you were a child.
2 years old, and I had to get surgery when I was 7.
That's pretty old.
I had it for 5 years.
So
as a child, I thought every time I like went to the restroom or strained, this entire side of my abdomen ballooned out 3 times as large.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's intense.
It was pretty intense.
That's
and at one
one
point, it was almost going to die, part of it.
Yeah.
So I had to get surgery.
Whoa.
And the reason I got it was as a 2-year-old, I was already lifting smaller children constantly.
Because
I was surrounded by other kids in the neighborhood who were smaller than me. And I was just like very into like lifting big stuff.
And that's why you now hate kids.
Maybe.
That's your origin story. They hurt you and you go, I don't trust those babies. They're going to give me a hernia.
Yeah, heavy babies.
Tell me
yeah.
about the little bubble. Was it like a squishy, like a fun squishy?
Kind of squishy, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, better than like a hard bubble. Mm. No one likes
it. I don't think I have a bubble. Also, the six-pack video starts out with me joking, do I has hernia? And that was a joke. I didn't think that I had a hernia. But now, 6 months later.
If you don't have a bubble, your mm-hmm. hernia is not even worth being worried about.
But it, he said mm-hmm. it hurts him when he goes pee-pee.
But I would say that if you're worried you have a hernia,
it hurts next to your pee-pee?
No. That, well, yes, next
maybe.
To.
Oh, maybe
but
I
it hurts when
about...
I'm like doing squats or sit-ups.
Yeah, lay off the squats. About... Okay. That's definitely going to exacerbate it.
Damn.
Just lay off the squats for a little bit.
Well, what would you rather have, an unruptured hernia or a booty, a bad booty?
I want to have a rockin' bod.
Okay, well, then you got to rupture that hernia, bro.
Ned, you just got to go to the doctor. He's going to put his finger in your ball sack and see if you have a hernia. That's what it is.
No, you're kidding me.
I had it done very recently.
That's what they do?
Yeah.
Kind of. It depends on where the hernia is.
Well, no, that's how they test for hernia.
You say a finger in your ball sack.
They put your finger up your ball sack and into your like your lower abdomen.
Guys, so many things. I'm connecting so many fucking dots right now. That's why you were able to tuck when we were doing drag, because you got hernia surgery.
No,
so you got
nothing's
not
at all.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm
doing. It's because I'm a badass.
Because he's tough.
Oh, he sucked the intestines in to make space for the nuts.
Yeah,
not a chance.
All drag queens, successful drag queens, actually have had hernias, and that's how
they do it. It's very common for taller men to get hernias.
Yeah,
mine was actually it was not a hernia from overexerting myself. It was a hernia because I was a giant and I always had a hernia and it was just a matter of time for when it was going to develop into a problem.
I'm so safe. I'm never going
to
have a hernia.
Did you are less likely to have a hernia?
But you cross
actually.
Your legs a lot. Miles said that was bad.
Fuck, I keep crossing my
legs. And by the way, I am
what's
a doctor.
Happening?
It's not, it's just, oh God, your clamp is falling.
My mic is.
Your clamp is falling off.
He's got a hernia.
This is that the table is broken.
Yeah. This table's seen.
This table sucks.
We need a new office. I'm ready for it.
If anybody out there has a hernia, don't be embarrassed.
Yeah.
It's a thing you need to take care of. It can.
Don't be embarrassed.
It can be a fucking problem. Your intestines can die.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you think you have a hernia, don't go get a scan where you lay down to find it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because when you lay down, your hernia is not you can't see it because there's no pressure forcing things to bulge out, because if you're laying on your back, everything's laying flat. When you're standing up,
mm-hmm.
the hernia is much more obvious and apparent. So if you're not sure what it is, but you think it's a hernia, just go to a hernia doctor. Don't go to your normal doctor, because he's going to recommend you go get like a fucking ultrasound or something like that. It's going to show nothing and it's going to cost you money. That's what I did. I went and got several scans because they didn't know what it was, because I was not going to a hernia specialist, and I had to self-diagnose myself with a hernia.
Oh my gosh.
And then go to a doctor who's like, yeah, it's clear you have a pretty advanced hernia. Does it hurt? And I'm like, yeah. It's like, well, then you should surgically repair it. I'm like, well, damn it.
Yeah.
I'd gone so long in my life without a surgery, and then I had to have a pretty good
one. I feel like since now I have like about 2 months before the baby comes, if that. It's like I gotta like take care of my life now.
Yeah,
I'm about to go back into the trenches again.
Yeah, otherwise it's gonna be 18 years.
It's gonna
so
be Merry Christmas
that.
To me.
Yeah, you could go. I think you could
18 years.
Just get a consultation and see if you have a hernia. Just because
I have heard the word hernia so many times, I'm gonna scream
hernia hysteria.
No more here, hernia, Eugene. I want to know about your dad.
You sound kind of like a British character.
Yeah,
hernia,
hernia,
hernia. Is the pasta ready?
Eugene, who's your daddy?
Helena your dad? And Hernia.
My dad's cool.
He is cool.
He's a cool guy. You've seen him in videos. He
loves golf.
He loves golf. He
loves
was.
Salmon.
I don't know explain
salmon and golf.
What he did. He's a doctor, but he's retired. He worked at a psychiatric ward.
Mm-hmm.
I've mentioned this, a psychiatric hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he studied to be an anesthesiologist. It's a very long story. It's a very dark story.
Your dad's remarkable now, though, for his habits, like his
his habits are crazy, but his work was crazier. Like,
oh, okay,
his,
then go.
His work was I didn't know what he did a lot, and then when I went to his work, I was just like, these people might be sick, because I thought it was a regular hospital. So when I went to a real hospital for the first time, quote unquote, I didn't understand what was happening. But yeah, he was He was dirt poor, Grime, in Korea. He was so poor. And he had, like, you know, a lot of death in his family. And so I think his goal was to be a doctor to get out of the country. And so he did that. And somehow ended up in fucking Texas. Man, he had a really miserable life. But
Texas,
yeah,
is a very odd place to end up.
Yeah, it was. I think he, there's a long story, yeah, there. But there's some big city stuff that he was going to do, but then it ended up in a, right, small town.
Yeah, didn't you say he spent time in New York?
Yeah, he did for like a year before, but cool, that's before he landed a job.
Hell,
that's when he was,
that's
a bachelor.
Cool, though.
Yeah, that's when, that's, he, cool, that's when he was like, I'm just going to fuck around 70s New York.
Dude, live it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Your dad fucked?
I think he did. He seemed like the type. He was a good looking man.
He's handsome. He's always wearing suits.
Handsome dude. Yeah. But yeah, now he's crazy. He like wakes up every day to golf because he's retired. So he golfs and he's in his 70s. So
every day.
Every day. Yes. Every single day.
Same course?
Different courses in Austin.
Has
but he
gotten really good?
He's incredible. Nah, he sucks. Yeah. He plays with his like Korean crew. They golf until he goes at like 5 a.m. every day, golfs until about noon or 1 p.m., then goes to the gym, then does yoga, and then watches golf on the TV while he eats salmon and rice every day.
Wow.
He has like an 8-pack. He's
just working his craft.
Yeah. He does yoga, gym, golf. He's just really obsessed with like routine and health.
Yeah, I think, is he the oldest tri-daddy and definitely the most fit?
He's probably the oldest, yeah. He had us when he was older, but yeah, he's incredible. He's a great guy. He's certainly become kind of a hippy-dippy because his my stepmom is very much sort of like an ex-hippie, sort of like an ex-flower child.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so she's very progressive. Mm-hmm.
I will say, when I met your dad, I think you mentioned, just to like give us something to talk about, you mentioned that I do yoga a lot, and your dad, like, I could just tell, he was like, there was a glimmer in his eye, and he was proud of me, and I was happy. I was like, Jay, like, Jay's got me.
You do
he
yoga.
Was like, oh, one of mine.
Namaste.
You like salmon? I'm like, yeah, dude. He's like,
yeah,
right,
but you know
good.
What? Bringing it back full circle to top of pod, we got my dad to vote for Biden.
Woo! Yeah, Queen.
In Texas.
Go off.
A swing state.
A lifelong Republican, right?
A lifelong Texan Republican.
Yeah.
Mm. He is going to vote for Biden.
It's amazing.
After years of screaming at my dad. He's a great guy. He certainly has stayed in his ways. A lot of listeners probably have conservative parents. But he's not really socially conservative because obviously he popped me out. Right. But you know,
he popped you right out of
popped me right out. But, you know, it's really hard. He popped me right out of his hernia.
Yeah.
That's how boys are born.
That's true.
Yeah, hernia.
It is a big enough hole for
very
a baby
Zeus
to pass through.
Greek mythology. But yeah, interesting conversations. But we got him to the point where he was like, you know what? I don't want to support Trump. So I was like, good.
It's very common with us, with first generation immigrants, to, you know, they came to this country to earn their own money, and so a lot of more socially progressive, no, not socially,
fiscally conservative. Yeah,
well, they become fiscally conservative because they're like, I worked for my money, I don't want to give it away.
Yeah.
Maggie's dad was the same way, where he was lifelong Republican.
We chatted about, but there's quite a few cultures, like in Asia, Latin America, that our parents and grandparents' generations were fleeing from wars,
right,
and the enemy in their eyes were communists or socialists.
Right.
And so this idea that is now being looped incorrectly with a lot of progressive movements is scary to a lot of immigrant parents.
And understandably.
And it's understandable. Yeah. Like, it's very big in like the Cuban American community, very big in the Vietnamese community. Like, it's a real big thing that you have to kind of like take a step back and be like, oh, you ran from a regime and now this thing is just being like displaced mentally. But I think that yeah, once you're in this country long enough, though, and I think your kids can help inform you, I think my dad's on board.
As we did 20 minutes on hernia, we could have been talking about communism this whole time. I would have.
Oh, one wants to talk about
communism. No. All those definitions are mixed up there.
I want to one more thing about our dads.
They were saying one more thing about hernias.
No, about our dads is that, like, my dad was also a Republican for a long part of his life. I think he still is a Republican, but he's been voting Democrat because the Republican Party doesn't really reflect traditional Republican values anymore. But what's been very cool to see is to see my parents fight right-wing trolls on Facebook.
It's adorable.
Because that feels like something that our generation really spearheaded for a while. And to see my dad, who is very, very non-confrontational, very, like, everyone can get along in this world. It should be easy for that to be like when people are writing horrible things. He's like, this is simply not true. And he like will list it out in a very like dad way of why it's problematic. And like, it's very cool to see my parents and as any parents fighting the same fight that we're fighting like on Twitter, but they're fighting it on Facebook. It's just very cool.
Which, by the way, we're in the wrong place. Twitter's an echo chamber. If you really want to dive into the muck, you got to get to the source.
I mean,
it's
I go
Facebook.
On Facebook to fight. I pop it into Carthage people's Facebook accounts so much I'm getting blocked by people in Carthage left and right.
Wow.
It has been really fun. They're wrong. And that's too bad for them.
I'm like over here on my Instagram trying to, you know, sway the 5% of my followers who disagree with me. But Facebook?
Dude, Facebook's
crazy.
That's
where it's just going down.
That's the Wild West. Facebook is a dangerous place.
Damn, we started with Sandy Andy's beautiful question about child dances and then got to hometowns and dads. And what's funny is that now that I think about it, like my hometown in Texas was like Carthage when I was born. Mm-hmm. It was like a small town. There's nobody there. And through my life growing up there, it kind of became more like, I guess, of Jacksonville. It got like there was a highway that cut through it. There was a McDonald's.
You were there.
People of color started moving in, like, and that is the what is happening to places like Texas, like at large. That's why Texas might swing blue. It already is technically blue, and I would argue that tooth and nail.
Yeah,
it is, and don't look up the voter suppression there.
Texans, if you're out there, vote down.
But I think it's really interesting because like that is the cultural shift that's happening by 2050. Hispanic and Latino population, people of that descent, are going to essentially be larger than the white American population. Like, this is something that's happening. It's the shifting face of America. Mm-hmm. And so we just might be sitting as witnesses to the real beginning of that shift, which involves a lot of friction from the far right movement. And I think that is really, I don't know. I think it's wonderful to see that people like our dads, you know, who are just good people at heart, can pull some things like politics aside and say, you know what, I'm just going to vote for what I think is right.
If dads can change, then maybe we all can change.
Yeah.
So Sandy Andy, when you're at your dance this weekend, I want you to just be wriggling that body and go, isn't it crazy that Mark Zuckerberg took half a decade to remove Holocaust denial from his platform? Also, I watched The Social Network again this weekend, and that movie still slaps. What a pathetic man Mark Zuckerberg is. Fuck him to hell. That brings us to our next and favorite segment. When you need advice about dancing, you come to us. But when you need advice about everything else, well, there's only one man you can turn to. And that man has advice that'll go for miles. This is advice that'll go for miles with your host, Miles Bonsignore.
This better be a new song.
Yes.
Go
for
miles. Oh, yeah. Tune into
your radio station. Fuck Mark Zuckerberg!
What?
Go for miles.
Everyone get ready. Whoa. Ooh.
Ooh, yes.
Whoa, I like that.
Hey.
Well, is Corinne Bailey up in here? Fuck.
This is hot.
Thank you to Chloe Banco for the theme song.
Thank you, Banco. Whoa. Yes.
Excellent.
Have you ever wanted to eat an ice cream milkshake, but you're too fucking afraid?
All the time.
First of all, you drink milkshakes.
I was on such a high from Chloe's song, and you brought me crashing back down to earth.
What's next?
I'm in. What's the next sentence
that can't have anything to do with the first sentence?
Milk is yucky. Ew.
Preach. All right, now I'm back out.
OOTD? More like OATD.
Yeah.
What?
Oat milk, baby. Bring it, Miles.
Oated. Ned just got oated.
Sometimes they do oat me with my coffee order, and I'm just like, fuck.
No, oat milk is good.
Drink a milkshake with oatmeal.
I keep going. Oatmeal milkshake. I'm on board.
Breakfast milkshake.
With oat milk.
Hell yeah.
In the tub is all.
Oh.
Oh, back to this.
Oh, it's tub life.
Does it have to be in the tub?
Yeah. Everybody in the tub getting oat milk.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Everybody in the tub getting crispy.
Dude, I'm vibing.
So I'm a oat milk, like,
I don't really, I don't favor it. It's not my preferred milk of choice.
You're wrong.
All right. Well, before you attack me personally,
this is the debate.
I would like to hear some arguments for why I should reconsider oat milk.
You can drink 5 glasses and not even skip a second. Milk is too fatty for me. But if I have oat milk, I can have like a glass and I don't feel like, you know, ugh, you know, that little glottal.
But what if I don't feel that way?
Well,
like I drink milk and I go, mmm.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, that's fine, Ned. And I understand that. I mean,
and I drink oat milk and I go, ugh.
No, I'm not a strict
Ned, you also like, you drink like just glasses of milk still?
Sometimes. Yeah. Not dude, still, if but I could,
If I could, I would.
Mm-hmm. But if there's extra milk in Wes's cereal bowl, I'm just like,
oh, slurm. Shit. Cereal milk is top shelf milk.
But that's sugar milk. That's a different thing, baby.
I know, but it's top
what
shelf.
What'd you talk about a different thing?
Well, it's sugar
milk. It's mostly milk, and I drink it plain, too.
Does Wes drink whole milk?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's good for babies.
You know, okay. We drank milk as a kid like crazy.
I did, too. That's why I'm a giant. So much milk. I got milk. That's why
that was with the
but
milk
I'm open to, you know, new experiences.
Okay, oat milk. So let's fucking hit it, Miles. We're going to volley back and forth here. One, I genuinely believe it's the most delicious tasting of the milks.
Okay.
Tastes kind of like milk.
Yeah, that's more accurate.
Well,
it's I think it's the tastier. It's tastier than almond milk. Tastier than soy. Tastier.
Yeah.
It's the best one.
Well, that's the first actual point that you scored.
Environmental impact. Yeah. You know, an almond is very actually quite bad for agriculture. Mm-hmm. It requires a lot of water, especially when it's grown here in California. Cows, disastrous for the earth. They are one of the biggest contributors.
Some of the most racist animals.
Yeah. Exactly.
Go off, King.
That's, I think, my 2 points.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And I'll say this. Picture my naked body
doing it.
In the tub.
We're going this backwards. Is a tub essential.
Going backwards.
Sexual harassment. Beam me up, Daddy, because I'm putting a bath bomb in and drinking an oat milk milkshake poolside. But it's a tub.
What's your recipe for the oat milk
beside
milkshake?
The tub. You're
full,
in the tub.
Full fat.
Not full side.
Tub side, baby.
That's crazy. Here's what I'm using. Full fat Ben and Jerry's regular vanilla ice cream.
You also have real milk. That's why it tastes so good.
Yeah. And then I use oat milk.
It's really not. Okay. I mean, it's mostly ice cream, it sounds like. Like, that sounds great.
It's definitely going to be very
mostly
rich.
Mostly ice cream with a little bit of flavor oat milk. I'm fine.
But Ned,
it.
You gotta add the bathtub, my man.
You steam yourself up like a little dumpling.
A little hot, a little sweet, a little cold.
And I do usually a regular vanilla ice cream, oat milk, half a banana, and then pick your poison, brother. Peanut butter or sometimes chocolate chips in there.
Yum.
I've only done this twice. And it's been the last 2 days I did it.
Of course. That's typically how the advice
typically
works.
Typically how it goes. Y'all know me. Still same old G, but a bit low key.
Wow. I did this thing last night. You guys should hear about it.
But here's my thing. When you're in the tub and your body is hot, you want your insides to be cold, right?
Right.
Why don't you just go outside, Miles?
Huh?
drink the milkshake outside in the sun.
No, but then you're not getting the benefits of the bath.
I want to, one detail you said is you use bath bombs. Mm-hmm. I have only used bath bombs twice, and both times at the end of the bath, I felt disgusting.
Your
body felt horrible.
Yeah.
So horrible, I had to take a long shower to clean myself appropriately.
You just covered in a film of it?
Yeah, it's disgusting. And one of them had like glitter in it. It was when we were at VidCon Australia, and they gave us some sort of thing, and then my body was glittery and oily.
A nightmare.
And I was naked, and I felt awful.
Yeah. You know, the bath bombs are to be used sparingly, and if you want to be oily after, then I suggest using a bath bomb. But if you don't want to be oily, probably don't. Just use Epsom salt.
Epsom salt, Epsom magnesium flake if you're a real fancy bitch.
Oh, shit, I haven't even heard that. Go off, King.
More bath tips. I think you should have a podcast, potent. Miles.
I would love
bath
to.
Thoughts?
I could do it from the tub.
Just call bath bombs.
Live bath bombs.
And you're dropping hella information in the bath.
Yeah.
Wow.
Miles.
It's weird to me that we talk about baths so much, but I do genuinely.
It is very weird.
As of late, like I rely on soaks for my chronic pain. Like I really do like them. And I have been, you know, we've been working on this documentary, so I've been talking to our editor, Devlin, a lot. Yeah. And I've been like, hey, I just want to admit, like, I hope this isn't weird. Like, I'm in the bath. So if you don't want to talk to me right now, he's like, oh, You know that like 80% of the time I talk to you, I'm in the bath and I've just never told you.
Wait,
so this is this weird thing that Devlin and I have in common. He's a bather for life.
I do not understand large men who take baths. As a large man, there's no bathtub that's ever fit my body. I don't understand how you or Devlin, both large men, can fit
or me, equally large compared to the world population.
Biggest of us all.
Keith, I've said this before, but you got to stop up the stopper really big. And then also you got to cross your legs like crisscross.
Which you said you shouldn't do.
Well, in the tub, I'll make an exception, honey.
That's got to be all the time we have left. Nothing is going to happen that's funnier than that.
Wow.
So check us out. Subscribe here. Subscribe to Tripod. Check out Baby Steps, Ned's parenting podcast. It's a romp.
We interviewed Rachel this week. Got the download on the mother of twins.
That must be wild. Also, check out, you can sit with us, the Tri-Wives podcast. It's more popular than ours, but we still advertise it here anyway.
Why didn't I do this podcast land on Keith?
Cute.
This is nice.
You guys are cozy.
You know, like a little couch bath.
Do the subscribe.
I have an idea for next week's podcast.
What do you got?
Seems like people have some controversial takes in this group that are head to head. We should have a debate.
Ooh, debate pod.
All right, that'll be fun. I want to hear more.
Tune in next week when somehow my facial hair hasn't grown an inch at all. Looks exactly the same, even though 7 days have passed. That's the tripod for you.
Okay, well, you know what to do next. Keep it up with
me. Oh my God, guys.
Splish splash, I was taking a blush. All about a Thursday day. Eating ice cream all the time with a little bit of oat milk.
Oh, my mic broke again.
It's the TRY and a POD. A tripod makes you filled with glee. I'm going to splish splash. I jump back in the bush. Well, how was that? I know there was a tripod going on. It was a tripod and a tripod. Tripod and a tripod. Tripod and a tripod.
Until next time, stay beautiful.
Miles, your dad's a teacher, right?
Yeah, he went to Mongolia to ride horses with the reindeer people once.
Whoa, that's way more interesting than everything we see.